For a clear vision.
Well, here it is.
It's the Glenn Beck Program.
That's the now what. I can tell you what's coming. I've already told you what's coming.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9.
Don't miss not a single day.
On News Talk 95.3.
Believe me, we don't have a day to waste.
WTLZ.
When evening rolls around and it's time to go to town, where do you go? To rock and roll. The old folks say that you gotta end your day by 10. If you're out on a date and you bring it on late, it's a sin. You just ain't no excuse.
6:06, the show is Your Live. I'm David Carnes. It's Wednesday night, every Wednesday night. The hour is sponsored by the good folks out at InfoSystems Technology. Love my InfoSystems. I'll tell you what, this is not only a company that your company needs to handle all of your IT needs, phone system setup, they can do all of that for you as well, but they get what it means to be part of the community. They donate this hour to local nonprofits and folks that are just doing an amazing amount of good here in the Chattanooga community. Tonight, one such organization is the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, and this is November, which is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. So we have brought in some folks to really shine a light on this, one of the most, if not the most, devastating forms of cancer that is out there. Let's introduce our guests. We have Teresa Warren. She is the Education and Outreach Coordinator with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Also, Aaron Daniels, a social network volunteer with the network. And Edith Snyder is here also, a Chattanooga affiliate coordinator with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. And I know it sounds like kind of a bluesy, downer kind of a topic for an hour, but what we're going to do is take a spin on this where we're looking at ways to eliminate this, to eradicate this, and look toward the hopeful future. And that's what you guys are all about, the Action Network, is making sure that this thing is stopped in its tracks. So, Teresa, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about what the Action Network, the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, is all about.
Well, it's a national organization, first of all, that is out there to increase awareness and to increase advocacy for this disease. We have that they are very strong in position in sending. We go to Washington, D.C. There are bills that we have trying to get co-sponsored in Congress that will actually force the National Cancer Institute to address this cancer. And, you know, the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, is the reality of it. And we have to make people aware of this disease, aware of its deadliness, aware of the survival rates, and let our politicians know that. Unless you've been affected by this disease, you're unaware of these statistics. So the goal of this organization is to increase that awareness, be an advocate for those that are no longer with us, that don't have a voice, and to also be a support and provide education and for patients, family members, caregivers, and the healthcare community regarding this disease.
And if anybody out there if this is something that you're either going through, you have a family member that's going through it, have a question or a story to tell, we'd love to hear it. You can call in at 702-9111, 702-9111. And Teresa, I know you as well as Edith Snyder, I know you as well, have had personal experience with pancreatic cancer in your family, in your life. I want to touch on that in just a minute. We'll get to that in just a second. But first of all, you guys had a big walk this past Saturday. Let's get people caught up on that, and Edith, we'll let you talk about that.
We were thrilled to have a great turnout. We had a Purple Stride Chattanooga on Saturday morning. It was a 5K run, and we had an overwhelming response. We had hoped and planned for maybe about 500 people, and we had well over 700. So, beautiful day. We had a great turnout. Moon Pie Holding Company was our musical entertainment. We had Kid Zones. We had lots of food, of course, but it was a time to celebrate those that are survivors and those that have lost people.
And that has to be encouraging to go from, how many did you say last year? About 500?
350.
350,
yeah.
Up to, and basically doubling that this year. Is that based on what you were saying earlier, Teresa, just more acknowledgement, more people knowing about it, more people taking it seriously?
I think our efforts in trying to create awareness, I think we're trying to do that. And obviously, we've succeeded somewhat there. I mean, because we're not expecting that volume of people. And having said that, we've reached our fundraiser goal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the totals of that yet because there's still things coming in. But, you know, the more people we get to be aware of this, the more people that turn out that try to fight this, the more money we raise, the more grants we can fund, and the more research is going to be done, and the, you know, the better success we're going to have down the road.
And let's bring in Aaron Daniels, the social network volunteer, and getting awareness out there, especially with social media, social networks, things of that nature. What is that all about? How does that happen?
We actually have a Facebook page for the Chattanooga affiliate, and I actually run that. Soon we hope to have a Twitter page, but I'm just not all expert on that yet.
Me either. I've never gotten the Twitter.
Facebook is really good, and it's a good way. Everybody can kind of keep up with what we're doing on Facebook, and you don't have to know anybody. You can just go on Facebook and check it out every day, what we're doing, if we have any events planned up or meetings that we're having.
Why is pancreatic cancer? I mean, it's the one that I think everybody associates with just real quick. I mean, soon after a diagnosis, a lot of folks aren't with us past a couple of months. It seems like this would be one that is on the front burner of people's attention. Why is it one that is seemingly ignored in a lot of circles?
Well, there again, patients are diagnosed too late. They're diagnosed late stage, and patients don't survive to speak out. They can't become their own advocate. And then you've got family members that are left without that person, and your grief is so intense. And sometimes some people don't know that we're out there, know how to get involved. And that's what we're about. We want to provide that opportunity for those family members that are currently battling this, for those that have lost someone, to have an opportunity to come out and do something to try to make a difference. Because if we don't make changes, 40 years from now, our survival rate is still going to be 6%. I mean, we've got a 6% 5-year survival rate. If we don't do anything about it, it's not going to change.
And what's amazing and encouraging, I think, is that you do take a lot of forms of cancer that 20 years ago had those ridiculously low survival rates in the 4 or 5% range, and now with the research, with the money, with the attention, with the notoriety, now the survival rate is up into the 90% range. And a lot of it's possible. It just needs, like you said, that light shone on it, that attention given to it. Are there other efforts that are going on right now? I mean, are people finally waking up and paying attention?
I think so. I think that last year in Washington, several of us from the area affiliate went to Washington. All three of us were there and several more. We had all 50 states represented. So, and everybody's dressed in purple. You're going and meeting your congressional leaders, and we're speaking about this bill. So people, we are waking them up to it, but it's going to take more. We need a louder voice, and the more people can get involved, the more we'll get done.
Talking with Teresa Warren, Education and Outreach Coordinator with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. This is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, and so it is a very important topic. I know it may not be fun, and a lot of folks, you know, it's not, and I hate to use this term, but it's not one of the sexy, attention-grabbing issues, unfortunately, but it needs to be, and I think that's starting to happen thanks to folks out at the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. So we'll have more with them when we return. You're listening to Your Live. Thank you so much to InfoSystems for shining a light on this important issue. You're listening to News Talk 95.3 WPLZ.
When you own your own business, it's your business you want to focus on, and you want to make sure that your technology runs seamlessly and uninterrupted. At InfoSystems, we believe information technology exists to serve business, not the other way around. With 16-plus years' experience in the IT field, InfoSystems expertise allows you to focus on what you do best. Our local expert advisors will help you take the risk and complexity out of your IT network. InfoSystems is a nationally recognized leader in the IT industry, an IBM Premier Business Partner, and a Microsoft Certified Partner. Discover how we can turn your IT systems into business solutions. Call 624-6551 or online at infosystems.biz.
At FSG Bank, we believe you shouldn't be penalized just for having a checking account or spending.
thing, I think I love you.
6:20, the show, you're live. I'm David Carnes, and welcoming in some amazing guests today. Edith Snyder, Chattanooga Affiliate Coordinator with Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Teresa Warren is the Education and Outreach Coordinator. And Aaron Daniels, the Social Network Volunteer for the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. This is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. And boy, do we need the awareness more than ever. This is one of the forms of cancer that has, only a 6% survival rate for 5 years. So only 6% of the folks that are diagnosed will make it to 5 years. And I would guess it even precipitously drops lower than that past 5 years.
Well, we only keep statistics for 5 years. But even at that, 74% of the patients will die within the first year of diagnosis.
74%.
Right.
Now, one thing you were talking about earlier was the number of survivors that can voice and put a voice to this message is one of the problems in terms of getting attention. Let's highlight that a little bit, specifically through the walk that happened this past Saturday. I've been to a lot of cancer walks and functions, and there are always a large group of survivors that are there to encourage, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. How many people were at the walk on Saturday, and how many survivors were there?
We had more than 700 people in attendance, and we had 8 survivors.
Eight.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, I didn't get to meet all them individually. But having said that, we're very grateful for our survivors. We're so thankful because, you know, when you come into a group and you're faced with a diagnosis like this, and I can personally speak from this when my husband was, to go in and see somebody that's a 6-year survivor gives you a sense of hope. Mm. Somebody made it. Somebody beat those odds. And it gives you that sense of if they can, it might be me too. And, you know, it keeps you fighting. And but there again, we had 700 people walking and we had 8 survivors.
That just really starkly highlights how deadly this disease is. Let's talk a little bit about each of your personal stories. Edith Snyder is the affiliate coordinator with Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. And if you don't mind, just share a little bit of your story and your experience with this.
Well, I like to let you know that October of 07, I was fixing my hair one morning and Jed was interviewing a lady, Betsy, and she had pancreatic cancer. And I remember thinking in my head, she's in big trouble, and kind of listened off to the distance to the interview. And a month later, we're given that diagnosis with my mom. So it was a comfort to go back and try to find that interview with Jed and find out what Betsy was talking about. And I did find the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. My mother was diagnosed early on. She turned jaundice, and her cancer had not spread. We were all excited, thinking we're going to have the Whipple surgery. We're going to beat this.
And what is that specifically?
Whipple surgery is if your tumor's not been metastasized, you do have an option to go in and remove the tumor, and it's a very, very invasive, very tough surgery. Kind of go in and replumb everything, and hopefully they get it all before it spreads. Unfortunately, we only had her for 15 months, but. It really is a scary position to be in. You go to people and you grab them and you say, what do we do? What do we do? Because the medical communities, we don't feel is very educated to even think that someone might have pancreatic cancer. There are so many other options that they go look at first, and then it's too late when it actually is found.
Is it almost like they're hoping that it will be something else?
Oh, yes. We thought, she's got hepatitis, you know, and unfortunately not.
Well, talk about the symptoms. You mentioned she was jaundiced. What else? I mean, and I think that's one of the big problems is that the symptoms are just so few and far between.
You're right. They're very vague. We hear so many stories of it's a gallbladder problem. They go and take your gallbladder out. Well, my back, I've got a dull ache in my back. Well, you've gone to the chiropractor. You're doing therapy. They eliminate all the easy things first. And so a lot of times you have digestive problems. You know, as we all get older, we might eat too much or eat greasy things. And you just start in your mind, you know, justifying all these small, very small details in your change of your body.
And Edith, let's hold off there for 1 minute, take a quick break. When we come back, more of Edith Snyder's story, Teresa Warren, Aaron Daniels, also a very powerful story there as well. We're going to hear about that as we focus and shine a light on eliminating and bringing attention and awareness to this extremely deadly issue, pancreatic cancer. The Pancreatic Cancer Action Network is doing its best to eradicate this, and we're going to help them out best we can. 625, thank you to InfoSystems Technology for sponsoring this hour of Your Live on News Talk 95.3 WPLZ.
When you own your own business, it's your business you want to focus on, and you want to make sure that your technology runs seamlessly and uninterrupted. At InfoSystems, we believe information technology exists to serve business, not the other way around. With 16-plus years' experience in the IT field, InfoSystems expertise allows you to focus on what you do best. Our local expert advisors will help you take the risk and complexity out of your IT network. InfoSystems is a nationally recognized leader in the IT industry, an IBM Premier Business Partner, and a Microsoft Certified Partner. Discover how we can turn your IT systems into business solutions. Call 624-6551 or online at infosystems.biz.
At FSG Bank, we believe you shouldn't be penalized just for having a checking account or spending.
Six 30, the show, You're Live. I'm David Carnes, and welcome. Thank you to InfoSystems for sponsoring this hour of You're Live on News Talk 95.3 WPLZ, talking with Edith Snyder with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Also, Teresa Warren and Aaron Daniels are with us as well. And Edith, we were talking about your story before the break and how your mom was diagnosed and succumbed to pancreatic cancer. And with the diagnosis, you were mentioning some symptoms and being jaundiced, but really nothing outrageous that you were like, what on earth? I mean, there were very traditional symptoms that could have been just about anything, right?
Exactly.
So what do we learn from that? And Teresa, jump in on this, Aaron, if you like also, but what do we learn from that in terms of diagnosing pancreatic cancer? What do people need to be looking for, aware of? Or is there a combination of symptoms that people should be looking for? What's the deal? How do we find out early?
Well, all the symptoms are all vague, just as Edith said. You can have some generalized, just dull back pain, some GI issues, diarrhea, just some nausea, just some indigestion, those kind of things. Very frequently, again, it gets attributed to the gallbladder. Like my husband, he had his gallbladder out. They thought that's what was going on. Weight loss is another symptom. And jaundice. As Edith said, her mom was jaundiced. My husband never did develop jaundice, but jaundice is one of those things that will always get the healthcare professionals to really take a serious look at things.
Because in an adult, it's just not normal.
Right. And there again, it's typically thought to be caused by the gallbladder because that's very common because you can get gallstones that trap the bile duct and therefore cause jaundice. But at least it sort of forces things to be done.
Now, while other things are being diagnosed, I'm assuming that that's wasting fairly valuable time. While you're getting your gallbladder out, you're recovering from that, then you have another symptom, that gets taken care of, you're losing valuable time while all of this is happening, right?
That's true, but this is a very difficult cancer to detect, even on today's studies. My husband had CT scans. He had MRIs. He had his gallbladder out. He had all these studies done, and everything was essentially normal. His lab work was normal. He just, and he would attribute some of his back pain to, well, I've been on the tractor too long, or I've been doing this. And once he had his gallbladder out, he felt better for a while. But then, you know, symptoms started coming back. He finally went back to the doctor again, and they did another ultrasound, and at that point found a pancreatic mass.
Right now, does a patient have the option, if they have some issue that maybe we're describing right now, do they have the option to go and say, I want to be checked to see if I have pancreatic cancer? And would a doctor be able to do a specific test on the pancreas and say, yep, you absolutely do? Good call.
There is not an early detection tool. Your CT scan is probably your best diagnostic tool to show it up on X-ray. That's the best study. Now, there is an endoscopic ultrasound that is done, and then that's sort of new. It's actually new to the Chattanooga area in the last couple of years. Actually, when my husband was diagnosed, they sent us out of town for that. So that is a new diagnostic tool that actually more readily shows the pancreas via ultrasound. They actually put the scope down through your mouth into the stomach, and they can see in through there better. Mm-hmm. So it actually visualizes the pancreas better. But just due to the pancreas's location anatomically, it makes it very difficult to assess it radiographically.
Let's talk a little bit about your story, Teresa. Your husband was diagnosed. Talk about that.
My husband was 53 years old. He had had some, like I said, just some vague symptoms. He went to his primary care doctor. They did some tests. They did several tests and everything was okay. They sent him to a gastroenterologist because it sort of continued over a period of time. He did some more tests, some lab work, some hepatitis panels, did some MRI and MRA, did some ultrasounds. Everything appeared to be fine. Then he ended up seeing a surgeon, had his gallbladder out, and like I said, felt better for a while. And the symptoms weren't constant, but they would come and be bad one day and then not be bad for several days. So it was very, very vague. And then several months, actually, we had a cruise plan to Alaska. And I finally told him, I said, honey, if you're not going to, you need to go back and get that checked. I just don't think you're going to feel like going if you don't see what's going on here. So he went back and they did an ultrasound and found a 4.5-centimeter pancreatic mass at that point. And of course, the nurse part of me thought, we've got to have, you know, we need to have surgery, needs to have a Whipple. So I made an appointment with the surgeon. And we saw the surgeon on Wednesday, the day we were supposed to leave on to go on the cruise to Alaska on Saturday. And we saw him and, he come in there and he talked to us and he just said, I can't do surgery. He's not a surgical candidate. And I thought, well, you've got to do surgery. That's the only chance of a long-term survival. You've got to, why can't you do surgery?
And did you already know a lot about this issue,
yes,
having a medical background?
Once he had the pancreatic mass demonstrated on the ultrasound and they sent him for the endoscopic ultrasound and they did a biopsy, I knew it was a pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any more than that at that time, other than that was what it was. I didn't know the stage of the disease. So I kept asking the surgeon questions and he finally, I remember sitting in the doctor's office and him handing me my husband's CT report. And as I read that report, I remember thinking, he won't be here at Christmas. That's what I thought. And he said, we can't do surgery. We would like to, there's a clinical trial if he wants to participate in the trial, or you can just do standard chemotherapy. So my husband was all about doing a clinical trial. I mean, we have three FDA-approved drugs for this therapy, and we've got a 6% five-year survival rate. So what we've got, it's not like it's great, so why not try something new?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was all about trying a trial, so we did that. And so I asked the doctor, I said, well, can you write us a note so, I can get, because we had insurance on the cruise thing, so we can get our money back so we can go ahead and start the trial. And he looked at me and said, if you want to go to Alaska, you need to go to Alaska.
Hmm.
And it was really the hardest trip I ever took because I really thought it would be our last one. But
What was the trip like? Was it?
It was beautiful, but it was very emotional because every time you're there, you would think this is the last time we'll get to do this together. And it was very difficult because I thought we won't do this again. And it actually was in June, and it was really tough because we were there on Father's Day. And I remember thinking, I really hate to be away for Father's Day because his kids may not see him next Father's Day. I remember thinking all those things, and you can't help but think it, even though you keep thinking you want him to beat these odds. You think those things because you can't help it. But we went, and he wanted to go, and we had a great time, as good as you can have with that dark cloud hanging over. And he come back, and we went, and he's participated in the trial. And I believe, just God gave us the grace of some time. He lived 2.5 years, even though he was diagnosed at a stage 4 disease. I think the clinical trial probably helped at least control the local tumor, and the metastases eventually is what all cancer patients will die from, is a metastatic disease.
The 2.5 year rate, the clinical trials that he went through, you just said that probably had something to do with it, as long as he was able to stay. Is that something that's mainstream now, the trials, the things that he was going through, or is that, it sounds like there are things that are possible that are out there to help out.
Clinical trials are just that, they're trials. And it's new methods of treatment as compared to old methods of treatment. But with cancer patients, I want people to understand that clinical trials, they never give patients a placebo. They always give them the standard of care and an additional drug, so that you're getting chemotherapy, you're getting the standard of care in addition to something else. And the thing is, does the combination better? Does it make them sicker? Is it intolerable? So there's a lot of information out there on clinical trials, and every patient should consider a trial. Not that every patient should participate, and it's every patient can't participate based on exclusion or inclusion criteria. But every patient should consider it, because if we don't learn something from this, if we don't develop new techniques, new therapies, that's where it all goes.
And like you said, with this particular cancer, as deadly as it is, why the heck not? Why not?
That was my husband's philosophy,
yeah,
for sure.
Aaron, let's turn to you. And I haven't divulged this yet on air, but Aaron is Teresa's daughter, and so it was her dad who passed away from pancreatic cancer. And how old were you?
I was 24 when he passed away.
24 years old. And just talk about your experience through this whole thing. How has this kind of shaped you and your message for people that are either going through this with another family member? What can you share with them?
Well, my dad actually passed away 3 weeks before my son was born. So that was very difficult. But in that process, you learn that with one life, there's a new life. And he came at a very good time. It was a good healing process for me. Just because it took some of the pressure away, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that pain was a little bit relieved just by having... I was busy because I was a new mom. He was, a week old. You don't have time to think about other stuff. But, like my mom said, we did do a lot of trips. We went to Yankee Stadium. My dad and myself were huge Yankees fans. So we did that, which was a trip we planned 3 years before, and year after year after year, something came up we never got to go. So we finally did that. And so we did several things that we wanted to do. And we had that time because we were blessed with 2.5 years, which a lot of people don't get nearly that.
And Edith, with your mom, how long did you say it was from?
It was 15 months from her diagnosis.
Which itself, even 15 months is a fairly, for pancreatic cancer, a fairly long time, right?
It was. We were lucky.
And was your mom involved in clinical trials as well?
No, she was at MD Anderson, and she went through chemotherapy and radiation before her surgery to have the tumor removed.
Talk about what you have learned, what you want people to know about this, people that either are suffering through it, they know somebody that is, they have a family member. What do you want them to know about this?
Well, first of all, our heart breaks every time we get a phone call from someone that's found out about our organization, and we're here to help you and your family in any way of support. The pancreatic cancer has a lot of tools and resources for us to pass along to you. But it does make you feel a little closer to others and that have been through the same journey that you have. And we have all walks of life and people we wouldn't have anything in common with other than pancreatic cancer. But it is an awareness thing. We've got to get the word out that that research has to make big leaps for others to be able to survive.
I can't tell you how much my heart breaks for you guys, but I love what you're doing. And Teresa, you can touch on this if you like. Just the fact that whenever something tragic happens in somebody's life, the best medicine, the best healing is when you take that and you bring good out of it. And what a great legacy to the person that you've lost, just to be able to make big changes like you guys are making.
Right. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, there's nothing I'm going to do that's going to bring my husband back. But, you know, I want to give that support to other people. We've walked in those shoes, and to be that ear, that support for somebody if they just need somebody to talk to, and to create awareness, let people know that we're out there so that we can make a change, so that someday down the road when somebody is diagnosed with this, that they have a sense of hope, and that they feel and they can read on the internet and see that there's lots of treatment options. There's more than three drugs approved, and it's got a better than 6% five-year survival rate.
Is there anyone that you can think of? I mean, I know you probably don't have a definite answer for me, but is there anyone that you know of, anyone in this area, that has beaten it, that has, I had pancreatic cancer, I had the worst diagnosis, stage 4, and now it's gone, and I have been cured? Is there anyone that has beaten this thing?
With a stage four, I don't know of anyone with a stage 4.
Anyone that has, where it's been diagnosed earlier, where it's been beaten?
We have a survivor that attends our meetings regularly, and he's a 6-year survivor.
Almost 7.
He did have almost 7. He had a Whipple procedure, and the Whipple procedure gives patients the longest chance of survival. That's the best medicine out there. If they are caught early enough for surgery.
But that doesn't beat it. That just gives you that longer time, right?
Hopefully it'll beat it if you can resect it and get it all out. But it's very commonly not diagnosed in time.
Teresa Warren, Education and Outreach Coordinator with Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. And that's what we're talking about, shining a light on this issue. Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month is November, and it is a killer. And the diagnosis, it is not good for families. And I'll tell you what, I just want something to be done about this. 645 Info Systems Technology, thank you so much for sponsoring this hour with Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. News Talk 95.3. We're back right after this on WPLZ.
When you own your own business, it's your business you want to focus on, and you want to make sure that your technology runs seamlessly and uninterrupted. At InfoSystems, we believe information technology exists to serve business, not the other way around. With 16-plus years' experience in the IT field, InfoSystems' expertise allows you to focus on what you do best. Our local expert advisors will help you take the risk and complexity out of your IT network. InfoSystems is a nationally recognized leader in the IT industry, an IBM Premier Business Partner, and a Microsoft Certified Partner. Discover how we can turn your IT systems into business solutions. Call 624-6551 or online at infosystems.biz.
At FSG Bank, we believe you shouldn't be penalized just for having a checking account or spending.
Six 6:49, the show is Your Life. I want to take a second just to thank InfoSystems Technology for sponsoring this important hour with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. If you have a company, a nonprofit, an educational facility that demands IT perfection, InfoSystems Technology is who you want to go with. They can also set up your phone systems and help you out in ways that you never even imagined. Take the load off of you in terms of IT and let you focus on your company and on your business. Go to the website, see what they can do for you, and I ask that you support them because they support important shows like we're doing tonight. Go to infosystems.biz, B-I-Z, and find out if they are a company that you would be able to work with. I guarantee you'll find that they are. Let's welcome back in our guest for our remaining moments, Edith Snyder, Chattanooga Affiliate Coordinator with Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Teresa Warren is the Education and Outreach Coordinator. Aaron Daniels is the Social Network Volunteer. And let's talk about how people can get involved with this. So we just had a walk on Saturday. A ton of people showed up, twice the number that you had last year. But we have a lot more opportunities for people to get involved.
This Sunday, November 20th, we're having a national across the country Purple Light. It's a vigil that we're going to participate in and invite family members, and we're going to celebrate those that have battled pancreatic cancer. It's at 8 o'clock. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock at the Hunter Museum outside, and everybody will have a glow stick, and we want to announce the names of your loved one or someone you'd like to remember during that time. It's a short. There's no charge. It's just a time to come together and also a community awareness opportunity to turn the area a little more purple.
You had a lot of folks showing up, twice the number that you were that you had last year mm-hmm. at the walk this past Saturday. In Chattanooga specifically, and I don't even know if you have the numbers off the top of your head, but how is this impacting the city of Chattanooga? How many folks are diagnosed here?
I don't know that. I don't know that answer. It seems like in this, I'd be afraid to say. I don't want to speculate.
Is it more common than people realize?
It's getting more and more common. The problem with this cancer is that, you know, statistically speaking, they have predicted a 55% increase in the number of these cancers diagnosed between now and 2020. And, you know, 55% more of a cancer this deadly is a lot of people that will die as a result of this disease.
Do we have any idea at all what causes it? Anything that people can take away from this hour, thing, well, I need to avoid this. Maybe I should get this looked at. Maybe I should get regular checkups more often. Is there anything that people can do? I think that's the big problem, isn't it?
Right. There's not really any modifiable risk factors. Smoking, 20 to 30% of the patients with pancreatic cancer are smokers. Having said that, smoking is never good for you. So, but there's not any really things that you can change. You know, ethnic origin also has some increase. African American have an increased risk, as do the Ashkenazi Jew. But there's nothing that we can modify to change that's going to decrease our risk of this disease.
That's amazing. And what's an what was the Jew?
It's part of the Jewish population. It is specific.
That's very specific.
But they really have a significantly higher risk.
And males, females?
Not any real difference. And someone with a family member, a first degree relative, is also at increased risk.
Okay, so genetics does play
genetics
a role in it.
Plays a role in it.
If somebody does have a mother, a father that was diagnosed, and that, for example, Edith. I mean, is this something that you have taken and said, "Well, I need to get checked out more often," or is there anything that you can do other than just kind of wait and see? I mean, there's got to be something.
We didn't have any cancer history in our family, but it is in the forefront of my mind for sure.
And is there, if you're checked out more frequently, I mean, but again, they can't go and just,
you don't have a mammogram, we don't have a PSA test, so what do you check?
There is no detection tool. There is nothing until you have symptoms. There is nothing.
But it's 2011. There's got to be something.
And that's what we're about.
That's
what this advocacy effort is all about. We've got to get more research. We've got to get out there. And that's what, you know, and the National Cancer Institute, this is the fourth leading cancer killer, David. It's the fourth leading cancer killer, but it gets 2% of the National Cancer Institute's funding. 2%. It's the fourth killer. Those numbers don't seem to correlate to me.
It doesn't. Why?
Well, there again, as I've said before, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We're planning on getting a lot squeakier. We've actually got a bill, like I've talked about before. It's House Bill 733, Senate Bill 362, that we want our congressional people to co-sponsor. We'll force the National Cancer Institute to address this specific cancer. We've got to look at this cancer, and if we can win a battle with a cancer as aggressive as this one, we can win other battles with other cancers.
Now, is this something where folks can get in touch with their local congressman, congresswoman, and really make an impact that way?
We currently have a petition we're having signed to go to Senator Alexander, since he's on the Health and Education Committee. We've met with Fleshman and Corker's office. You can go to PANCAN.org. We have a great site. All you have to do is get in there and go to your... go to advocacy tab and put in your zip code, and it'll take you directly to your local representative. And you can call, you can write. It's very easy.
Is the petition online where people can sign it online at pancan.org?
I don't think not the one specific to Alexander. No.
Okay. How can people sign the petition if they want to do that?
We will have that petition in their hand if they want it.
Okay.
All they have to do is email me.
And can they is pancan.org, is that the main website that people need to go to get email information?
Yes.
To get information on the petition?
Yes.
As well.
Okay. We'll also have our petition at the light on this Sunday evening.
I love it. That's right. This Sunday evening, I want folks to take advantage of that out at the Hunter Museum. And we also have, take a nap for pancreatic cancer. How about that? I don't think that's what it's being called, but the rest test, I guess, is what it is. Tell us about that, Teresa.
Tempur-Pedic is our national sponsor. They have given over $800,000 for research for this cancer. And for the month of November, since it's a Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, they are allowing people to come in and take a rest test. You lay on the Tempur-Pedic mattress. They fill out a little bit of information. It's very brief. And they'll donate $10 for everyone that takes the rest test.
Not for buys a mattress, but
no,
just comes
just
in
takes
and takes
the rest
just test.
Just takes the rest test. Go lay on one of the mattresses. Have them fill out your card and donate $10.
And is it a deal where the longer you're on the mattress, the more money they'll donate?
You cannot go take a nap there, David. Sorry.
Dang. Okay. Well, I think it's a great thing to do.
And Mermaid Mattress and
Mattress Outlet
has been wonderful sponsors to us locally, this whole area. So go in one of those stores, lay on a Tempur-Pedic, don't take a nap, slow lay on one, let them fill out your card, and they'll donate $10 for us. It's a great way to help. It doesn't going to cost anybody anything. Just go lay on it.
And guys, we've got about 2 minutes left, but very quickly, let's just go around to all three of you. Aaron, all three of you have had personal experience with pancreatic cancer in your lives. It's impacted your families greatly. Aaron, what do you want people to know about this disease? Get folks out this Sunday, and what do people need to know?
I personally take it very seriously because there is somewhat of a genetic link. And I buried my dad when he was 56. I don't want my son to have to do that to me at 24 years old either. So that's why I'm involved. That's what I do. So maybe he doesn't have to suffer the same thing I did.
It's a good word. Teresa?
I just want everybody to realize how deadly this cancer is, and there is something you can do. You can get involved. You can go to pancan.org. You can come to our support group meetings. We're having a meeting December the 12th at Memorial. Come to our meetings. Learn how you can get more actively involved in the community and in this organization.
Edith?
And should anybody forget who we are, you can always go online at pancan.org, PANCAN.org, and find the national or local affiliate that you'd like to contact.
Awesome. Edith, Teresa, Aaron, I think the world of you guys. Thank you very much for being here tonight. That was great. And Mindy and Clay Hales and all the great folks out at InfoSystems, I cannot thank you guys enough for the good that you guys are doing in this community just by putting out a great product and service in what you do for local companies, but also in the fact that you donate this hour every week so that we can support people like the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Get involved, pancan.org. And also, infosystems.biz. Want to thank you as well. 6:59, that's going to do it for this edition of Your Live. I'm David Carnes. Have a great night.
Told you they bought and sold.